welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. A day 155. How is everybody doing? Mike's disappeared. Fear not, he'll be back. We've got an incoming delivery. Oh, the excitement of a Monday delivery. The reason we have the excitement of a Monday delivery, of course, is because they fouled up last week and missed the lettuce off. I must admit, not 100% concerning. But Mike decided we needed lettuce, so there you go. Good evening, Jonathan. How are you doing? CQ, Deb, CQ. Is the delivery of the iMac? No, Jonathan, not even placed the order for the iMac yet. Not in a rush. I'm alarmingly laid back about this iMac, I must admit. Because I'm up to the eyeballs till the holiday, that's why. Hello, Paul. Have we got any tech news today? We've got hideous news weather-wise. It's gone all humid again, which I can't understand. Last week it was 22 degrees and it was really quite bearable. Today, 17 and hideous. There's no sense to it. We did, however, have a bit of a rainstorm overnight, which I enjoyed. You are so calm about this iMac, it's unreal. Yes, what have I done with Elaine? Hello, Jane, how are you doing? You'd be annoyed if they missed off the Mars bar ice creams. Oh, it's Magnums. We've been very naughty. Do you know, you hear the term influencers and you think, idiot in a bikini. Trust me, I'm not in a bikini. No one would want that. Last week on By Request, which is our music show on Brooklands 196, we mentioned that, you know, there was a couple of items missing. And the comical part was we put the order in for the ice creams and they were Magnum ice creams. The white ones arrived. They were for Mike. And the salted caramel didn't. They were mine. So it took him an hour to sort the mess out, but they did turn up the next day. I think he explained that, you know, he couldn't be expected to live with me for a week without my ice creams, which I can understand. So this week we get to By Request. And Kath and Kaz post pictures of themselves with salted caramel magnums. They'd never had one before. So they'd gone out and said, look what you've done to us. I think they got more than one box and they've only got one left. One actual Magnum left because they like them so much. So they're heading out to buy them. Another couple that were in the chat, John and Petrina, had got salted caramel chocolate. Been keener on the chocolate than the ice cream, but said, you know, you said salted caramel and that was it. We needed to buy it. Then the next day, Stuart and Ellen, who were also in By Request, and Stuart sometimes pops into MacBites, they put a picture on Facebook that says, and it was a picture of white Magnums and salted caramel Magnums in a box at home. And they said, we only went out for yogurt. This is how you become an influencer, apparently. Just stuff yourself full of ice cream. Maybe it's the ice cream calming me down with the iMac. No, no, it'll be fine. Anyway, Jonathan, you inspired me, boy. When you said you'd done your tidying up at the weekend, and then we got talking about my 66 drawers. I'm not sure if Jane was aware of the 66 drawers. I have in the office, Jane, some IKEA, are they Helmers? Helmer drawer units. They're like metal with drawers in. So I said to Jonathan, just let me count how many we've got. And I got to 10 and I said, I'm sure I've got 11. Anyway, I found one hidden behind the desk. So I've got 11 of these Helmers. And in these Helmers, there's 6 drawers. So Jonathan did the maths very quickly and said 66 drawers. Yes. So the inspiration, Jonathan, was I decided, you know, you're a bit overwhelmed trying to tidy up 66 drawers. But I thought, what if I did one every day? We could gamify this, I thought. So I did. I emptied out an entire drawer. And why is it the stuff that comes out of the drawer takes up more space than it did in the drawer? Is this some kind of thing in physics that I missed? Like a TARDIS? Anyway, I took the whole lot out. I thought, what should go in that drawer? And I thought my notebooks and extra pages should go in that drawer. And that is what is now in the drawer. So that's one draw done. That only leaves the other 65 to deal with. So, but one draw a day. It's possible. It's possible. I'm not sure if Mike put any Ruby Magnums in. I don't know. I will find out. Hello, Kim. And hello, Paul. How are you doing down under? What's the weather like and how's the COVID situation? Ours is getting worse on both fronts. Weather's far too warm now. It's gone all humid again. And the COVID thing, they did our review on Friday. We're going nowhere. Not that you could tell that from what's going on outside the house, but we weren't intending to go anywhere anyway, so no great loss. Let's leave it there. Jane says she's clearly missed my decision on the iMac. It was in my advice, Jane. So are you delinquent? Are you delinquent, girl? But we're at the position where the last model that was released, that's not the one that we've got. Ours is 3 years old. Both of them. We have twins. The one that was released, I'm guessing it must have been 2019 at some point, maybe mid-2019. But the one before the one they've just announced officially supported 128 gig of RAM. No, it didn't. 64. 64 gig of RAM, officially. But the memory supplier that I buy my memory from said that unofficially they had tried it and it supported 128. Ooh! Now, I at least want 128, but I would much prefer 256. So I was waiting after it was announced to wait for the memory person, company, to test it and see if it did support double like the last one did. And if it did, then I would buy double RAM. Because you can't, well, you can upgrade later, but what do you do with the £500 of RAM you've already bought, which you can't now squeeze into it? So I'm officially waiting on that. Plus the fact we have a holiday coming up at the end of August. Obviously a staycation. And that would be the time to start tinkering with it. Not in the middle of all the jobs that I've got to do.
You mean a laughable holiday?
A laughable holiday. One of our laughable holidays. No! Have you noticed? Now we can't go anywhere. Well, I guess you could, but I don't want to anyway. I'm a home bird. That the holidays have become much more bearable. So clearly the problem with holidays was going places. Like when we went to wherever we went to camping and Dad set the tent on fire. I ended up in Booth Hall Children's Burns Unit for 3 months. Then there was the time he had a nightmare. He decided we were going caravanning and he had a nightmare. And he started like thumping out in the middle of this nightmare and put his fist through the caravan window. Ended up in A&E. Then there was the time he was changing a wheel, and this was down London, Windsor kind of way. So a long way from home, and dislocated his kneecap. Problem with that was he was the only driver. So coming home was basically him screaming for 6 hours. What else happened on holiday?
Jane's in.
Yes, Jane's in. What else has happened to us on holiday, Mike?
Is this I need Jane?
Yes, want and need, but want Jane's delinquent.
Oh.
Did the macarooners know about delinquency?
I don't think they do.
No, I don't, because macarooners aren't delinquent. They're with us live.
No, some are delinquent.
Some miss odd shows. And some have to speak to the parents, don't they, Jonathan? But now, you see, you've got an incentive to rock on up for marooned. Because you never know what might happen at the end of marooned, do you? In terms of a new Mac Bites. Not that Jane will be worried about that, because she's already delinquent.
Just saying.
Just saying.
One. Three. One.
No, don't get excited, Jonathan. It's not today. It's not happening today. Just teasing you. Oh, Kim's asked the question, Mike.
What? How did United do?
Oh, you'll have him cry.
They got beat, Kim.
It wasn't good. No. And it started so promisingly, didn't it, with a very dodgy penalty.
It wasn't a dodgy penalty.
It was a dodgy penalty. He'd already played the ball. If that had been given against you, what would you have said?
Yeah, whatever.
That's dodgy.
Whatever.
No, no, no. Whatever. Be fair, Mike. I said straight away, that's a very dicey penalty.
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, you don't want to overanalyze that penalty?
I'm upset.
Poor Mike. Freed up a night next week, though, just saying.
Yeah, it would have been Friday night.
Oh, Jonathan's not expecting it. So, but Jonathan, is it when you're most not expecting it? Just saying. Jane wants you to give her an ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh, that was a Craig ooh. Oh dear.
James missed the decision to buy an iMac.
She has, but I've explained all that now.
Right.
We're just waiting for the memory.
Whilst
people.
I was doing the washing up.
Yes. Well, if you will, leave your post for domestic reasons. Yeah, we're just waiting for the RAM decision and basically to try and get it here either during the holiday or just after the holiday.
I had to clear the kitchen. For
the kitchen, remind me.
Impending delivery.
Oh, yes. They are apprised of that. And the only missing item was something inconsequential, wasn't it?
Pasta.
Oh, pasta. No, we're all right with pasta because we've still got the secret store of Dino pasta.
Oh, yes.
Jane may have missed the Dino pasta as well.
And we've got spaghetti and we've got lasagna.
It has to be gluten-free, you see. So there was this, and it's gluten-free is not cheap. So while I was in charge of the shopping via Amazon, because Mike couldn't get a slot to save his life, I put in your gluten-free pasta. And
that's not because I'm inept. That's just because there weren't any.
There weren't any slots. Oh, no. You are very slot savvy.
Very, very uninept.
No, you're not. You're not inept. So I'm searching for gluten-free pasta. It's about £3.60 a bag, something like that. It's quite expensive. And I spot this one and I'm thinking, is that actually gluten-free pasta? Because it was about 40 pence. And I thought there's something wrong there. It was children's pasta. Isn't it right? If it's children's food, is there no VAT on it?
I'm not sure.
I know there isn't VAT on children's clothes, so maybe that's how they get away with it. But it was shaped like little dinosaurs. Well, I don't care what shape the pasta is, so I bought some. So it's gone into our secret hoard, along with four tins of baked beans. Oh, dear. Right, I'll check the RAM again, Paul. Why not, hey? Why not check the RAM live, woman? You never know. Wouldn't that be most exciting?
Seattle Seahawks are currently in training camp. They're in lockdown in a hotel, which only lasts a few weeks for the training camp. One of the rookies tries sneaking a girl into his room.
Oh, for crying out loud. They're like animals. In fact, that is cruel to animals.
That's
they are
no
not
different to what one of our footballers would do.
Oh, they'd probably try and get a harem in there. But it's disgusting. It's like, can you not, leave off for 5 minutes?
No, they can't.
Animals are far better behaved. Right, let's have a look what the RAM people are saying now. I've found the actual model. 128. Oh.
They're all the same, Paul, aren't they?
That's not good. Mind you, means it's only, how much was it? 32, isn't it? Yeah, it means it's only £500 instead of 1,000, so I guess I should be happy about it. Oh, well. I might have a chat with them and see. But, I need the shopping with Elaine moment with the bank, don't I? Because I actually had to speak to somebody at the bank. Yeah. Well, that's my quota of speaking to somebody for like 2 months.
Thank you. Did we have a bank fit?
We very nearly had a bank fit at the fact that they had the temerity to write to me in the first place. But I'll put it in a shopping with Elaine moment because it sort of qualifies. But they did follow the basic instructions, to be fair.
Don't ask for your phone number.
No, that's the advanced instructions. The basic instructions are, do not on pain of death attempt to ring me. Write to me on a piece of paper, put it in an envelope and put a stamp on it. They did. They did. So I can't say fairer than that, can I?
No.
Are you waiting for the delivery man?
Yeah.
Right, well, let's see
I could go and wait downstairs.
No, you don't have to. Well, let's find out what camera's working. Probably none of them. Oh, for crying out loud. Honestly, my NetView cameras have gone mental lately.
Pulling a conservatory.
I know, it's always off, isn't it? And the one in here I've fixed twice.
It's like the fact I keep rebooting it.
I know, it just doesn't like it down there. I don't know why. I will investigate. I haven't got time for that right now.
Yeah, I read that, Paul.
Okay.
Blackburn wedding reception. The police had to break up.
Saw that. I mean, do they think they're going to get away with it? The venue should get fined because didn't that come out the other day? There was something about that I mentioned. And it turned out that the punter's got one. Was it on a MacBytes? The punter's got one fine and the business got another.
So they should.
Well, exactly so they should.
Yeah.
absolutely. The current fine for not wearing a mask in the UK, isn't it £3,200 now?
Is it?
Yeah, it went up the other day. Oh. Pretty confident. Pretty,
I'll go and get
sure.
mine on then.
I would get yours on ready for the Asda man, because the last one got a bit frisky with you, didn't he? The last Asda man got very close. My mic was perturbed. What is it with footy teams around the world? Paul, if I knew that, I'd be a rich woman. There have been at least half a dozen stories like that since lockdown. Was Marcus Rashford in trouble at one point? But there was about three City players. And then there was the ones that went abroad to some kind of the European camp situation. And they were out on the Raz in Paris. It was just ridiculous. I cannot understand that. It's too hot to be even thinking about doing anything but just lying there with some ice next to you. I don't get these blokes. Bromide's the answer, I think. Bromide. An opportunity of a lifetime and he threw it away. I cannot understand that. So if he gets cut, Kim, is that just like for a certain amount of time? Or is that like ever? And is it just for that team or every team? Because there's something called the draft, isn't there? Or am I in the wrong, or am I in the right sport? I have heard of the draft and they get allocated teams. Is that right? Which that's alien to how we go on. They're basically, it's like an Arab bazaar here. You just keep upping the price until somebody agrees to be with you. It's weird. That fine of pay for a new iMac, it could possibly pay for two. if you got the cheapest. So yeah, I won't be going anywhere, mask or no mask. No, he's off our team. Another team can pick him up. So he's basically sacked. That's ridiculous. Why would you risk it? Can you imagine the ribbing he's getting off his family and friends? Unbelievable. They're in such a privileged position. I can't understand it. Good evening, Tracy. How are you? That is a good point, Paul. Draft is the correct sport. Excellent. Getting there. And dropped from that team. But if he can't follow the rules, who would want to? You'd like to think he'd learnt his lesson. But, you know, in the UK, because I follow football, obviously soccer to you guys, I've got memories going back years. United went on a tour, and I think it was out in some Caribbean islands. I'm trying to think what the... Saint something was the capital. So it was out in the Caribbean islands. And... Obviously, again, chance of a lifetime, like you're saying, you are playing for Manchester United's first team. This was about 1983, 4, 5, something like that. And there was this player went out there with them. He wasn't like one of the biggest names, like he wasn't Brian Robson or somebody. His name was Clayton Blackmore. And he really, really thought he was a ladies' man. He'd got this kind of bleach blonde slick back hair and he thought the sun shone out of his own illuminated backside. So he toddles off on this thing and they ended up in a nightclub. You've got to wonder, haven't you? You're there for a football tournament, but he ended up in this nightclub. So he ends up back at the hotel. I do not know where the accusation, where the subject of the accusation took place. It could have been at the hotel, I'm not sure. But the next morning, the police roll up. Somebody has reported him for rape.
Is this CB?
Yes. It was written off in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But we can name names because...
it's a public record.
It was on public record, so yeah. So all heck broke loose. It was all over the papers and stuff. Now, obviously, he was claiming it was consensual. And you're thinking, you're there to do a job. You know, if you go away on like an Outward Bounds bonding weekend with work, you shouldn't be pairing off, should you? But they don't seem to see it like that. And that was many years ago. As I say, it was written off in the end.
1987.
I thought it was no later than 85. Funny footnote to that story, actually. And I can't remember the year of this either, Mike. Possibly 2006, 2007, maybe. But he carried on playing for United for quite a while. And he's still there, actually, isn't he? In an ambassador role.
Yeah.
You do wonder, don't you? But the footnote to it was, there was a tournament what was it called? The Soccer Fives or
Soccer
something?
Soccer Six, I think.
The Soccer Six. And it was at what was then the 9X Arena, but is the Manchester Arena. So that was where the bomb was, the Ariana Grande thing. That was the venue. So there was this tournament on, and it was for older players who had retired. And he was one of them. So we're down there covering this on press passes. And he was one of the guys. Now, I think, he got something, didn't he? There was some kind of award involved for this actual tournament, right? So obviously, I'm doing the photography, Mike's doing the interviewing. So I need to get hold of this guy and get a photograph of him with his little trophy. So I hairs off after him. And I said, you know, Clayton, I need a picture. So he's like, oh, right. He was so nervous. And I thought, what on earth? He was not like the character that he'd portrayed him as for all those years. And I'm looking at him thinking, well, where did all that bravado go? You know, the cockiness, being really overconfident, where did all that go? And I realised when he was having his picture taken, he was like twitching and trying to move. He'd now got one almighty bald spot in his flowing locks of blonde hair and was begging me to take the picture from an angle that didn't show it. I thought, isn't it funny how confidence is so transient? Seriously. Oh, transient confidence, what can you say? You could do with a blanket. Oh, Tracy, I could do with more fans on.
There you go. There's a load of pictures of Clayton.
Oh, that's a good idea. Send a picky. It's the one of him with the bald spot. He looks like a Liverpool player in that big one you've got up there. But yes, he had no confidence at all. And I thought it's amazing how the fact that he was, you know, Manchester United first teamer and he got all his hair done and stuff. No wonder it fell out without perm. That was what gave him the confidence. And he wasn't like that at all when you were talking to him. He was most deferential. The temperature's actually not bad, Tracy. It's 17 outside and 38 in the office. The problem's the humidity, yet again. Yet again. It's been lovely for about 3 days. You know, we've had the window open, cool breeze, fans off. And only when you
Mind you, Brian McClair looks like Saddam Hussein.
Well, he does, actually, and so does, what's it?
Roy Keane.
Roy Keane. Look at the state of him. Put a picky in a Clayton Blackmore. Kim's in the 90s, not good. Good night, Jonathan. See you tomorrow. Yeah, there was another one as well. It wasn't a United player, was it? Do you remember the two from Southampton?
Steve Moran.
And, oh, what was his name?
I can't remember.
It was Steve. I think it was the two Steves, wasn't it? And, you know, same situation. The team go away and the next minute there's a girl in a room. And you think, really? And in view of what you're saying about that guy, that he's now dropped, and then it's up to somebody else if they want to take him on.
Mark Wright and Steve Moran.
That's right, Mark Wright. I thought it was Steve, but no. What was I saying? Yeah, we've got one over here. I can't remember his name now. But he was a footballer, had a team. And the actual incident was not in question. So what happened. It's whether there was any consent or not. But he was actually charged with rape and found guilty. And the poor girl was then, her name was all over Twitter with people saying, because he was a good player, and obviously he was then in jail, so he couldn't play, the fans of that team were really, really pissy. And they made her life an absolute misery. How long did he serve? I think it was about 2 to 3 years, because he put in an appeal. And won the appeal. But if you read the facts of what actually happened that wasn't in doubt, you're like, really? This girl had gone into a hotel room with one of his teammates. They had performed, as it were, and they were asleep. And he came in and thought, oh, she's here, that's handy. And he had a double. On what planet is that consent? I found that very strange. But he was subsequently found not guilty. So he then wanted to go back and play football. While he still had, you know, age-wise, some time left. And he went from club to club to club. And every time some club said, we'll take him on, the fans were like, oh, no, we're not. It was hysterical to watch. I mean, I would say if he wasn't guilty, but even if he wasn't guilty, which clearly he's been found not guilty, so, you know, legally, he's not guilty. What kind of behaviour Really? I obviously, you know, I said, you know, I don't wear jeans and stuff. Mm. And McIntosh said, I've got your image of you sat there in crinoline. Yeah, clearly I am. And clearly, morality-wise, I'm clearly with Mary Whitehouse. It's just the behaviour like that. I can't understand it. I really can't. Oh, Beckham and Blackmore. Is it the pair of them?
No, the story is a spoof story, but the pictures are Clayton.
Right, I'll have a look at that picture. Tell you how much like that he looked. I'm thinking this at my iMac might only take 128, you know. Yes, that was his 80s porn star look, wasn't it? But he actually looked nothing like that. I also remember another situation with him. It was after the incident in wherever it was. Was it Port-au-Prince, the capital? It was in one of the islands, wasn't it? I'm sure it was one of the islands. There was another incident. I'd got my seat next to the bench, so it'd be 1991. And he was a substitute. So he comes out, and because this seating area that I was in, the new stand, was brand new, there were no season tickets. So I had somebody different sat next to me every week. And there was a girl and her husband sat there, probably mid-20s. And she's like, listening to the team being read out, and she says, oh, Clayton Blackmore's a substitute. Oh, wow. And I thought, oh, please tell me no. You know, does he do something for you, dear? Turns out she was from Wales and he is Welsh. So when he comes out, she says to me, can I lean over for an autograph? And I thought, go for your life. Just don't have him near me. So she leans over and obviously he can hear her Welsh accent. They start having a conversation with me sat in the middle like a gooseberry. And her boyfriend, oh, he was long forgotten. And it was like, where do you come from? I think it was Port Talbot she came from, which is that close to where he came from?
Oh, no idea.
Anyway, then it was, my grandmother lives in such and such. And I thought, yeah, don't mind me, carry on. Literally, leaning over me. Do you know, I had fun that year. That was the year there were no season tickets. So we had to queue up for tickets every time there was a game. Mike was opposite me. We knew each other, but we weren't seeing each other at that stage. So every time there was a game, there I am outside the ticket office at like 5:30 in the morning. I had to do mornings then, didn't I, Mike? Mm. Buying tickets. So I'd been sat there probably about 4 or 5 months, maybe even a little bit longer. And this particular day, the seat next to me was empty, but the one next to that had somebody in it. Then this guy pitches up with his mate and says that he's got a ticket for my seat. Well, I know for a fact mine was the first ticket printed for that game because I was always first in the queue. There was me followed by the two ladies who sat in front, the two ladies behind them and the two guys behind me. We were like stalwarts and we were always there first to get the tickets. So, I mean, what can you say when he's waving a ticket in front of you and it's got your seat number on it? And I'm just sat there with like, no, you know, I've got a seat. I've got a ticket for this seat as well. At which point, the physio who was sat next to me and Alex Ferguson, who was sat next to him, the physio turns around and says, what's up? So I said, snap, and held my ticket up. And he literally stood up and he said to this guy, clear off. She sits there every week. This guy had a ticket. So at that point, with me sitting there and this bloke having a go at me and the physio standing up and getting, you know, geared up, ready for a scrap, Alex Ferguson turns around and says, what's going on? So the physio says to him, he wants a seat. And, you know, this is the manager of Manchester United. There's a game going on. He turns around and he said, sling your rug away. Go, go, go. And this guy's looking at him and like, oh, OK, then, even though he had a ticket. He ended up sat watching it at the back of the stand in a deck chair. I can only assume they inadvertently printed two tickets for my seat. So it's a good job I got there first as well. Oh, well. Plus the rookie is putting all his teammates at risk for COVID. I know. That's what I can't understand. It's how old is he? Yeah, when you say a rookie, how old is a rookie? I would say the youngest player on our team has been 16.
Yeah, probably.
Going up to about 40-odd. So we would have, like, rookies are probably in the youth team. But how old? Is he old enough to have a brain cell to keep the other one warm or not? Is it a boy thing, do you think? Or do you think women are just as bad? I don't think so. I don't think women have got time for all of that. But who knows? It is a trust thing, you're quite right. So, yeah, I've got to go. Your man's here.
Is he?
Yeah. He's opposite, but he's here.
Thought I heard him.
Yeah. Don't have him run over. Mask on. Shirt on. Headband on. Where you go. It's like a sport, this. He's parked opposite. Some imbecile has parked next to our fence, which means he can't get there. Although he could, actually, unless he's trying to avoid the lamppost. Anyway, he's arrived. So I'm going to watch him bring the stuff in now. But if the only thing that's missing is the pasta, I'm quite happy with that. No, I think with a team, if there's somebody who's kind of a bad apple, if you will, what can you do? They've got to go, no matter how good he is. But like you say, it's the fact that it was the opportunity of a lifetime and he thinks that a night with a woman is worth losing it over. I just can't fathom that. That's the bit I don't understand. On no planet is that a logical thing to do. You know, even, I mean, what we have seen that might be comparable, I mean, I'm not sure what his argument was, but when the players go away to the World Cup finals or the European finals, which should have been this year, that are now next year, I think, supposedly, allegedly, when they go away to things like that, they do report back that they're bored. And I've never understood that. 30 years ago, I didn't understand that. You know, read a book, watch a film, play a game. You know, they've got tennis courts, they've got snooker tables, they've got all the TV they can watch. How can you be bored? What is it that you would be doing back home that you can't do where you are? I don't understand that. But they're still saying that now, that they are bored. So maybe it was boredom, I don't know. you're not going to answer the man thing question, Paul. He could be as old as 22. Depends if he did all 4 years playing college football. But, you know, even at 22, so somewhere between 18 to 22, even at that age, you must understand that that is the opportunity of a lifetime. And COVID-wise, it's not worth the risk. Although we did have that the advice from Auntie last week, didn't we? Do you remember that one? Maybe Paul wasn't here with that one. Who remembers the advice from Auntie? I'll go find it. Let's see if I can find it in here. Auntie. Go on, I definitely put it in. So Notion, do not tell me it's not there. Auntie is not Austin. Crying out loud, it was the title of the show. Good grief. Okay, it's finding all sorts, but not actually that. Ridiculous. Hello, Anthony, how are you doing? How's your day been? Let us know. Right, shows. Marooned. It was an episode of Marooned, and it had Auntie in the title. I know this for a fact. So why are you not showing it to me? Now you're having a rare old think. Right, there you go. Adult play Auntie style. It was 149. So where's the link that I've got? There we go. We looked at it right at the end of the show. You'd think the BBC would have better things to talk about. But no, they put that up there. Very, very worrying. Talk about clickbait. Ooh, Anthony's popped into work for the first time in 6 months to take some papers in. How was it? Did you remember the old place? Mike's not gone anywhere near it. He has not been within 25 miles of work since March. And they've actually stopped. They had this thing over the summer, probably June, July, where there was lots of working groups put together on the return to work. And plans were drawn up and strategies discussed and meetings held. Not a word for at least 5 weeks. So it isn't even like how you're doing at home. Do you need anything? Just nothing now. It's as though this is the new normal, which I'm quite happy with. Quite happy with. We keep working out saying like, oh, you know, we wouldn't normally buy that. No, but we could buy it now because, you know, we're not spending money on petrol. So you want the iMac? We're not spending money on petrol. I haven't filled my car since last year. And I don't think Mike's filled his since March. It's probably evaporated by now. Oh, do you think they were following the BBC, Kim? Or is this now just that people have been in lockdown long enough that they're getting a little on the frisky side and need guidance with it? Very empty and a bit odd. That's the thing, I think, when you go back to somewhere and, you know, if you were walking back in and everybody else was there, it would probably feel very like it did before and homely, but it's empty. It's eerie, isn't it? Eerie. Paul does remember it. Yes, one scene never forgotten. That's the thing, isn't it? It isn't safe, though, is it, Kim, at all, if you're putting your teammates at risk. So that lad, no. Stupid boy. Stupid, stupid boy. I can only dread to think what's happening with the United lot. They were in Germany for the foreseeable, but obviously since they lost, they'll be on their way home now. They were winning at one point, and they were winning well into the second half. But this penalty was incredibly dodgy. I mean, Mike's like, oh, no, that was fine. No, Mike, really. I always judge it like this. If whatever the situation is, the goal, the penalty, a foul, whatever, don't look at it as though that's my team, you've just fouled them. Look at it in terms of, what if you flip it and that was a penalty against you? Would you think it was fair or not? And there was no way. The player was running up. There were players either side of him. He kicked the ball, so he took the shot. And then about, 3 seconds later, the guy tripped him up. Fair enough, it's a foul, but is it a penalty? Because he's already played the ball. So you didn't stop an open goal chance. It was very dodgy. I was surprised it wasn't VAR'd, but it wasn't VAR'd. And then they scored. And the penalty taker did take a very good penalty. You saw a headline that the sales of blow-up dolls is on the rise. Well, each to your own. Oh, dear. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, Anthony. Very strange shutting the building down in March, because normally it's because it's Christmas and everyone's excited. Yeah. Mike didn't have to do the closing down thing. Basically, they have like a communal area and they have part of a bigger communal area. But Mike's hardly ever using that communal area anyway, because if he's in, he's probably working. And like me, he likes peace and quiet. But if he's training, he'd have to book a room, a quiet room, to go and train in. So him talking isn't disturbing everybody else, and everybody else talking isn't disturbing him. So I would say if he was in work 5 days a week, at least 3 full days, if not more, would be spent on his own in a little room anyway. But when they left, you're leaving a communal area, and other people were still there for a few days, because the last time he went in, I think it was the week of the 6th, 7th, 8th, the 9th of March. So we were actually in lockdown from, I was in lockdown from the 6th, not been anywhere since the 6th. And Mike, I think it was the following week, so maybe the Thursday of the following week. But now there's hardly anybody in Mike's place, so I think it's pretty much shuttered. And they're just sitting there with it. It must be saving them quite a bit, though, as I pointed out to Mike, because one, you're not paying for heating or air conditioning, depending on what the weather's like. There's no lights needed. There's no computers needed. It must be saving quite a bit. Obviously, they're just defraying that onto us. But then we're not spending money on petrol. So there you go. Have you seen? There was a programme here. How do I know this? But there was a programme on here. This is how I know. Blow up dolls, only they weren't blow up dolls. It was one of these things that was on a weirdy channel. You know how I stumbled across that other thing where people were stark naked, and I thought I'd stumbled onto a very dodgy channel, but apparently not. It was one of those kind of things. And I couldn't stop watching. I literally could not stop watching. It was like, no, I know I'm busy, but no, I've got to keep watching this because it was that bad. I'm looking at it. And it's like, I don't quite believe this, and yet my eyes are seeing it. My eyes are seeing it. It was a friend, shall we say, a friend. They were looking for a friend to purchase. But these things weren't blow up. They were like latex. They were real. They were real. They had to ship them in a box. So I would say silicon of some description. And you went through this ordering process, like online, where you chose hair colour and other things to build this perfect doll. And they then shipped this doll to you. It wasn't quite in a coffin, but not far off. Because obviously it's not a blow-up thing. It's genuine. It feels quite real, apparently. They basically double it over on itself and then ship it to you in a box. So it's like sat down in the box. So with it looks like it sat on a chair in a box. And then they crate it up and then they send it to you. And I'm just like, what on earth? And it was so realistic. They'd put things like the hair was actually, it wasn't a wig that was stuck on. It was actually sewn in. So these things were meant to last a long time. You could get clip-in bits, if you're with me, for certain bits. The toenails and fingernails were painted. So they could be any length or style you liked and painted. There was makeup put on if you wanted it. Then you decided what the makeup was. It was, you look a quick glance and you'd have thought it was a real person. They even tattooed the nipples on. It was unbelievable, trust me. It was so realistic. And I'm like, but who? Why? Whoa. And then they mentioned the price. £26,000 for the doll. So you can see how real it really was. Then they showed you people who were buying these things. And one was a guy who had actually had to go into to a shop of an adult nature, an adult shop, to place the order there because he didn't have the internet. And he wanted this thing. And they were interviewing people who were buying these dolls and saying, like, what's your reason for buying a doll? And some, I mean, it sounded quite logical when they said it. I can't be doing with like a woman nagging me, but I want a woman. There was, you know, I just haven't found anybody. I can't get a girlfriend, you name it. But there was one guy, and I think this was the one, cheaper than a divorce. Yeah, there was that as well. But the one that got me was this guy. I think he could have been the one who went into the shop to order it because he didn't have the internet. And the guy's saying, yeah, well, do you want this? Do you want that? You had that last time. And I'm thinking, whoa, dude, whoa, stop. What do you mean last time? Is this his second one? Has he worn the first one out? So the guy said, yeah, but I want to change this time. So I want this one. I want that one. And you could obviously choose the size and style of any bit of this doll. So he'd gone for something a little different. He agreed to be interviewed. So they interviewed him in the store as he's ordering the doll. And then they go home with him. And they get in the house and he'd already got five of these dolls. They were sat there at the table, all dressed for tea. You know, in quite conservative outfits. Do you need a new hand sanitizer now, dear?
Right, I'm going to take the dog out.
Okay. You're going to say bye-bye to everybody as you head out. We're talking about dolls of an adult nature.
Bye-bye.
You might want to stay.
I'm out of breath. They don't give you bags.
No, you have to pay extra for bags. Just saying. Right, I will fill that up when I've de-COVIDed it.
Okay.
Because I do still have some hand sanitizer. And isn't today the 16th?
No, yesterday was the
16th. Oh, today's the 17th. That means the credit card bill's made up today, which means tomorrow is spend like it's the end of the world day.
Tomorrow's the iMac then.
Tomorrow could well be the iMac. Hey, it nearly wasn't the iMac at all. Shocking.
Sold out.
No, we're talking about adult dolls. Dolls of an adult nature. Yeah. You didn't see that programme, did you?
Yes.
You did?
You showed me bits.
Did I show you bits of it?
Yes.
The bits I deemed were suitable.
Yes, you edited it. Gave me the 30-second synopsis.
I didn't start this. Kim said that the sales of blow-up dolls is on the rise. Which I can understand.
If you pardon the pun.
Yeah, maybe people are lonely. Oh, who saw that episode of Only Fools and Horses?
I did.
With the blow-up doll.
Oh, I did.
Best episode ever.
Right, I'll see you.
Then. Did you see it?
I think so, yeah.
Danger UXB, I think, or UXD.
I think so.
Brilliant episode. If you get an opportunity to see that, you need to see it. Only Fools and Horses. Brilliant show. But that episode just had everything. My favourite two episodes were that one and the Jolly Boys outing. Oh, there goes Chicken. Chicken! Oh, dear, dear, dear. The doll story reminds me of the episode where people dressed up as large furry animals and only episode should be out. Do you know, I saw one of those an episode like that about cosplay. I think it was, the one with William, what's his name? Was it CSI? The original CSI. And it was about, you know, they found this, what looked like a dead fox, only it wasn't. It was a guy in a fox suit. And it turned out he'd been to a convention for cosplayers. And my mother's watching it and she says, "What's cosplay?" I said, "Keep watching. He'll find out." And at the end of it, she said, "Is that real or made up?" I said, "No, Mother, that's real." And she went, "Oh, okay then." She was quite accepting when she's like, "Oh, so it's a thing? Yes, Mother." Oh, dear, dear, dear. Oh, you're re-watching them all, Auntie. That's a brilliant idea. You know the series that I really love to re-watch? I mean, I could re-watch 24. That would never be hardship. But the one that I do love to re-watch is The West Wing. Absolutely love The West Wing. And there was so much in it that, you know, you get a different nuance every time you watch it. So it might be time to roll out The West Wing rewatch. Kiva's looking at the screen. Sorry, Kiva. Could be the same episode. Do you know it could be? One of the things I don't understand, just like my new sex identification. Can't remember what I am. We're all fluid now. You can't say what you are. In fact, you know, you don't say anything in this country. Somebody will take offence. I did save a picture. It was an animated GIF off Twitter. It was a scream. It was about somebody who'd posted something completely innocuous. And people were like, "How dare you?" And I must find it. It was so funny. It summarised social media these days. I see it in my own feed. Somebody posts something, you know, and if you say, like, I've made this in Notion, somebody literally comes back and says, "So you hate Rome Research then?" Like, no, I've just made this in Notion. They're just like on the attack the whole time. Can't fathom it myself, but, you know, people are as people are, isn't it? You didn't say that. Oh, look, there they go. Lola's leading him out of the garden gate. Are we going right or left? Mike's going right, but she's gone left. No, Mike's agreed with her. They've gone left. She was grumpy earlier. She was grumpy because she didn't get her walk earlier. She did get fed and treats. And yet again, she was talking. And I couldn't get it because the fan's on. So she needs to talk when it's quiet. We're wondering, she stops talking when the fan's turned off. We're wondering if she doesn't like the noise of the fan. And that's why she is talking. Why have I got an idiot stood on the corner of the street in a red coat talking? She's talking to herself. Well, she's not talking to Mike because they turned left. That's okay. Still very bizarre. Do you know, I should take a picture of this. You know, opposite where they dug that hole and then put a sandpit in, and it's still there. They've now got a walk past, you know, so you can step off the pavement into the road, preferably without getting hit by a car, which the cars can't get past because it's right opposite a T-junction next to the bollards. And now, opposite, outside one house, there's four bins. Ready for collection tomorrow. So to say you can't move here is an understatement. There's another two bins further up. I've got to think about filling our bins because it's cardboard bin day tomorrow. Oh, I loved Hustle. I really did love Hustle. I'm always reminded of Hustle when somebody's on the news and they say, like, somebody's been defrauded of something. Because in Hustle, they always said, you can't con an honest man. And I love that. It's like you can't con somebody who isn't trying to get more than their fair share of something, usually by nefarious means. I loved Hustle. The whole series is on iPlayer at the minute, isn't it? And another one that I love is Line of Duty, which is just so classy. And all of those have been on. They're actually repeating them on BBC One at the moment. Oh, actually, I'll tell you a bit of a story that involves Mike. I don't know if this happens anywhere else. If it does, let me know. But we have digital TV. So for years and years, we had analog TV. And analog TV meant that your TV had a tuner in it and you would manually tune each, like, preset to a station. And it needed changing, literally, like, once every 50 years. And then they brought out digital TV and they said it had a better picture. And it did, but when it broke up, it really broke up. And these boxes would break as soon as look at them. They were probably around £20 to £30 when they came out. But they actually had a few more free channels on them. And Mum did like watching some TV. Not, she wasn't into soaps and stuff, but she did like series like NCIS. She loved that one. That was her favourite. So she did like those. So they were on channels that were only on digital. So we bought these digital boxes for her and then would be replacing these digital boxes when they broke. And these digital boxes had a habit of needing retuning like every 2 months. And if you didn't retune them, you would still have, say, we've got 5 USA, which is All American Programmes on Channel 5. And you would still be watching 5 USA on Channel 36, but actually it had moved and it was now on Channel 49. So it got confusing if you didn't retune the box. So I spent half my life retuning the boxes for her. Well, I just happened to read that the digital signals were changing again on Mike's birthday, 12th of August. So I thought, best retune then. So I waited until the day and I did the retune and mine was fine. So I then mentioned to Mike, I said, you know, there's a retune. I said, but I know you don't watch that much. And he went, oh no, I did that. He said, now I've got no channels. So I'm like, well, you know, it'll be fine. It's just the way you've done it. You're holding it wrong or something like that. You know, an Appleism, you're holding it wrong. So I had a go with it. No. So Mike now has zero channels on his TV. So I went to my TV where, because I have retuned it, I've got the TV guide. Good night, Jane. See you next time. Enjoy your ice cream. I think I've had a Mars bar ice cream many moons ago. But Magnums are my favourite, but there you go. So I went to my TV guide, which had updated. And I had a quick look through it and I read out what was on. And there he was struggling with his TV and he went, you know what, I'm just going to leave it because I won't watch anything anyway. So Mike has no TV channels at the moment. The Asda man brought lettuce, which was his main thing to bring, because Mike said he didn't want to be without the lettuce. We always try and leave a little bit of food at the end of the week, which we never used to do. We would buy enough food for just a week. It would be in the fridge. Everything we buy is fresh. There are no tins, no packets, just fresh food, and it would be in the fridge. And then at the end of the week, on a Friday, we would have an omelette. So we'd make sure that we had some eggs, and then whatever was left over from vegetables, kale, anything that was left over went in there. And so by Friday night, the fridge was empty, at which point we would totally clean the fridge from head to foot and then restock it on Saturday. But obviously we can't do that right now. So you have to leave enough in case something's not there, and the lettuce was a problem. So Mike determined he wanted the lettuce. So I said, well, you have to have a minimum order. So basically you needed to put something with the lettuce. So I said, well, there's always white and salted caramel magnums, isn't there? And as luck would have it, they were on offer as well. So there was £1.10 off each packet. They are usually £3.60, but they were £2.50. So some of those went in. And of course, the other thing, because this is from a different supermarket, from Asda, we have to buy the princess her venison sausages. So when he said, you know, I'm about £10 off the limit, I said, well, there you go. There's 10 packets of venison sausages. And that's what he put in the basket. So obviously when the food arrived, she was there. I'll just count those sausages, Dad, out of my way. So she's all right for venison sausages for a long time. So we're actually buying from two different places. And the sausages that come from Tesco's are like about 5 inches long. But the ones from Asda are about 2.5 inches long, so there's double in the packet, and I don't really want to be breaking these sausages in half, so she only eats a little bit of them, you know, and then she gets more. She would normally have 4 little sausages, but she only gets 2 sausages if they're from Tesco. And she looks at you as though, yes, I know that was twice the size of the other one, but I still want 4. And we're like, no, because the last time you overdid it, it didn't end well, did it? Not for Mike, it didn't. So that was what we ordered. Ice cream, lettuce. He did try and get some pasta, but they didn't have any of that. And Lola's treats. So she's all treated up. Oh, 2 free tins of spaghetti hoops. I remember those. Used to have those when I was about 10. Used to have them on toast. It was my lunch because I used to go home from school for lunch. And every day it would be something. probably on toast. There were, do you remember cheese top, toast toppers, Anthony? They were a little tin, about the size of a tin of baby food. And it was like something that resembled cheese. And it would be cheese and chives or cheese and ham. And you would spread it on some toast, on some bread, and then put it under the grill. And it was your cheese on toast. That was another classic for lunchtimes when I was at home from school. But yes, spaghetti hoops and is it spaghetti letters? Used to have great fun with that. Oh, I know, Kim. That's what Mike and I thought. They'll be short on the supply of Magnums if Brooklyn's has got anything to do with it. Now, the only reason Joe didn't have one, too sugary for Joe. Joe's diabetic. So you've got Kaz eating them. You've got Kath eating them. There was John, there was Petrina, and now there's Stuart and there's Ellen. And of course, there's Mike and I. So they'll be like, I wonder what's going on in M33. We were only used to be selling 12 of these and now like 97 have shifted in a week. Oh, I'm betting next week everybody comes back and says the same. The only ones I'm thinking about, maybe Andrew and Peter. We'll have to see. And Anthony had one last night too. I think yours will come from a different warehouse. But I reckon there will be a shortage of them up here. So Mike says to me, SpaghettiOs. No, it's hoops here. But yeah, probably the same thing. Chongalulus. That's brilliant. Never heard that before, Tracy. But you're the linguist, aren't you? You know all these words. Spaghetti hoops. Oh, what a day. What else did I have at lunchtime? Spaghetti beans would be one. Spaghetti would be one. Cheese would be one. I've no idea what she did the other 2 days. I'll have to try and remember. She'll have to try and remember those. Yes, we're definitely going to be short of ice creams. But it's all a giggle, isn't it? We've got to keep our spirits up, seeing as though we're still in lockdown, and they're threatening worse. They are threatening worse. Because although we've been in lockdown for another 3 weeks, the rate's not going down, it's going up. So we are now back to 1,500 infections a day. And I think we've got that down to about 300. Oh, yeah, SpaghettiOs. Oh, meatballs. Yeah, we did have spaghetti and meatballs. We didn't have spaghetti and Franks, though. No, we didn't have those. We did have them on their own. You could get like sausages in a tin, but they were, that process, they were unbelievable. SpaghettiOs, oh, how cool. Now, we have hoops and we have letters. I think we still have letters anyway. But now I'm looking at the picture a little bit further down that page where it says full of fun. Yes, that was lunch sometimes. Oh, happy memories. That was when we lived in the middle of nowhere and the school meals were inedible. And because I could literally walk home, it was about 50 yards. Mum said, I'll tell them that you're having dinner at home. Lunch will be at home. 31 states with an R less than one. What's worse than lockdown? Just the things that you are allowed to do. So at the moment in our lockdown, you can't meet up with anybody else other than people in your support bubble. So a support bubble is like one other family that you've like buddied up with. But you are their support bubble and they are your support bubble. So you are not in a support bubble with anybody else and they are not in a support bubble with anybody else. So that's the logic of that. So you can meet up with them, but nobody else. Now, we had reached the point where you could meet up with people in your house. Prior to that, they'd arranged you could meet up in the garden, but now they've nuked the lot. So you can't meet up with anybody in or outside your house that you know other than members of your support bubble. But you can go to a park and you can go shopping. Now you're thinking, why don't you go to the park and meet up with somebody there but claim that you've never seen these people before in your life? Well, you know, if you want to try that, that would be up to you, but I don't think anybody would notice, would they? So what will happen if it gets worse, if they need to clamp down even more, they will start shutting down the pubs again. They will shut down the eating venues, restaurants, etc. And possibly even sort of do something with the shops, which is why they've done this huge fine for not wearing a mask, because the shops refused point blank to enforce it because they said they're not police, which is fair enough because, you know, people who anti-maskers, don't really want a sensible discussion about it. They just get violent, and the supermarkets are saying, we're not putting our staff at risk by having people on the door saying you've got to wear a mask. So we're not doing it. So if they don't do it, then the government may have to do something about that. So in that, that's the way in which it would get worse than lockdown. Your bars and restaurants are closed. To be honest, ours should be. There's no two ways about it. But the government are on this thing of like, let's get the economy back. And the rest of us are thinking, no, let's not die, hey? But they, to the point with the restaurants and bars, they are giving away money. The government are giving away taxpayers' money in the form of £10 vouchers to each person. And I think you can have more than one. And these can be spent at participating eateries, which is costing them money. And they're saying they don't really want to be part of it. But if they're not part of it, then they won't get any trade. I think that's stupid, but that's what they're doing with it. So that's what I think would happen. They would shut the pubs, they would shut the restaurants, potentially get back to, you know, like only a certain number of people in a shop and all that kind of thing. I mean, they've got to. It's been 3 weeks now. How long can they expect us to just sit here and not see friends again? So if they'd have done that from the start of this mini local lockdown, we might be out the other side of it by now, but they just keep like doing the bare minimum. And then when people get fed up of it and start ignoring it, then the numbers rise again. And then they have to rein you back in. And this is something that should have been dealt with way before now. But I don't understand it. But I can understand that people are now pretty much fed up of it. Because I always thought of it in terms of 3 week batches. So the first 3 weeks, I never particularly stopped working. So I was oblivious, really. The only thing I would say was there was an appointment at 5 o'clock every day to watch the press conference. And that was about the only change. And then the next 3 weeks were spent with everybody saying, how are we coming out of lockdown? When I'm thinking, but it's too soon for that. The 3 weeks after that were just chaotic because people by that stage were ignoring it. And since then, since it, July the 4th, which was kind of, we're opening the pubs day. I mean, we're looking at 6 weeks. It's, the figures are going the wrong way. But there's no sign of like a national, a nationwide, okay, this is what we're going to do. They're just targeting very locally. Then people start to feel that that's not fair. You know, that they're being punished on a local basis. And then they start ignoring it. And then we end up in the mess we're in now. So, yeah, the R8 is still going up. They are officially saying the R8 is 0.8 to over 1, but not how far over 1. So if it was 0.8 to 1.1, then, you know, look at that and 66% below the 1. But if they just say and above 1, how far above 1? Because if it's 1.3, 1.4, 1.5, then that offsets the ones that are below 1. Therefore, if we take an average of that, it's over 1. But they won't tell us. My betting, it's over 1. It's definitely over 1 here. They did announce that. It's over 1 in Manchester. The rest of the country, your guess is as good as mine because they're not telling anybody. A couple of friends have been out to restaurants. I must admit, there's no way I would. No way. We're getting a lot of reports of like places that have got breakouts that are food places. More so than anywhere else, to be honest. I guess that's because there's a kind of handling element going on and there's not much that you can do about that. I mean, you should be wearing a mask and you should be wearing gloves. But I mean, that went down so well at McDonald's, didn't it? They just cooked the thing in it. Just saying. You couldn't make up the stuff that has been going on during lockdown. And when I think about it, you know, do you know that was probably happening before, just that we didn't know about it? Major acts of gross stupidity that we are now aware of that we were not aware of before, but now we know about it. You just literally couldn't say anything about that. It's that bad. But there you go. So Mike's out, but when Mike comes back, where's Jonathan? Oh, Jonathan's not here, is he? Would now be a good time to mention 1-3-1. Just saying. Don't hold me to anything, just saying. You know it's fairly imminent, don't you? Just don't tell Jonathan. I like to see his little face, he's so excited. So we'll have to see what we can do about getting that out at some point this week. But, you know, we're still actually recovering from the fact that there were two last week. There were two last week. There were seven Maroons last week. There was my Affinity Publisher session and there was After Hours. I wonder when we sleep as well. Yeah, so last week was somewhat busily hectic. But will there be a Mac Bites imminently? I'll just leave the question there for you. Because, you see, the problem is when we put out too many, people get delinquent. Delinquent being, there is another Mac Bites out and you haven't listened to the last one yet. So people were virtually delinquent the second the first show came out last week. Because if they didn't listen to it all, the next one came the next day. Hence Jane saying she is indeed delinquent. Without giving away too many big clues, I would make sure that you were all up to date sooner rather than later. But don't tell Jonathan, because it has to be a surprise for Jonathan. Oh, there's somebody with a dog. No, it's not Mike. Oh, it looks like a Kiva dog. And if I cut the hedge, I'd be able to see that dog better. She disappeared behind the hedge, which looks like it needs about 4 foot cut off the top. Yeah, I'll get on to that. I'm not going out to do that, obviously, while it's warm. Plus the fact that would be the first time I'd been beyond our garden gate since March. So I've got to be very careful. People might pounce, you know, wanting to be social. But it's all right. I'd have my 4 foot hedge trimmer with me. So that should keep them 2 metres away, shouldn't it? I should be okay. Oh, stop press before I go. There's a breeze. Has the humidity stopped? It's a slight breeze. The curtain's not actually moving, but it's a slight breeze. So fingers crossed for me for the rest of the night, because I'm about to start my day's work now. So I'll be heading off to bed probably about the same time you will, Kim. But I've been up probably earlier than you. I was up about 11 o'clock and I didn't get to bed till, I think it was 7:15. No, it was 6:30. That's right, because I remember thinking to myself, I'll just look at this for a couple of minutes and the next minute I was asleep. So there you go. Right. I'm going to say goodnight to you all then, but we'll be back tomorrow. And you never know what might happen on a Tuesday. Just saying. But for the moment, it is a resounding goodnight from me and a goodnight from Mike. Should we do a goodnight from Lola as well? And a goodnight from Lola. And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.